Do you remember anything about the outside appearance of the Burnaby post office? I mean, were there windows, or was it dark?
I believe I think it was a four-pane window. Apparently, not just a house window, you know.
Yes,
but one of the older stores.
Something like
the general store window, maybe not that big.
So people passing by could look in.
People couldn't pass by there very well.
Oh, why was that?
It was on the wrong side of Kingsway.
Was it 1929 Kingsway? But what do you?
Well, you know where McDonald's on there is?
No, I'm sorry, I can't bring it to mind. But
you go up Kingsway on the right-hand side. At that time, there might have been a bit of sidewalk up that far, but there might have been a wooden sidewalk. I can't remember the sidewalk. But Kingsway was practically, from there on, was mainly bush.
Oh,
so there'd be no reason to have a sidewalk.
I've seen it on the fire maps, and it didn't
so there'd be no passers-by there unless you were going to the post. Also, there was a restaurant, I believe, either next to it or perhaps in the same building.
Well, I'm going to have to relook that, look that up again.
Yes, we ran the restaurant. The girl went to Burnaby South High School.
Maybe.
And they provided the restaurant, provided the meals for the prisoners in Burnaby Jail. Not Ocala, but the lockup, you see.
The lockup. Mm-hmm.
You see, if they caught somebody and held overnight in jail or waiting trial, well, and I remember.
Actually, we could probably look that up in our Burnaby Business Directory under restaurants, and that would give it to us.
Okay. I can't remember the girl's name. Her family.
Given that the fact that it was such a small operation, that Blount and Simmons could have made a decent living at this printing business?
Especially as Burnaby, as it did not expand. Because forget the advertising. There did be a little bit of Burnaby advertising, that was about all. I don't think there was any national advertising.
Yeah, yes, that's true in the ones that we have. Well, I've only ever seen the one, the 1925 ones.
Edmonds, of course, was a business center at the time. Mm-hmm. There's a triangle building. The Edmonds Drug, maybe you've seen pictures of it.
Yeah, I went by it today, just where the 4711 store is.
No, it's where. It's where the. Is it Nuffin's or Duffin's Donuts?
That's the place, yes. And you come down just as you're going to the station.
There's a triangle, the road that turns off from Kingsway to Edmonds Street, completing the triangle. I'm not sure that there's a road there at that time. Lane. There could have been. I can't recall any sort of lane. But the building is a fairly good sized building. The drugstore is right in the apex.
Right, I've seen pictures of the drugstore.
Then, I believe there had been an attempt at some kind of a business location on Kingsway behind the drugstore, but I don't remember anything being in it. It was probably the back of the drugstore, if I was behind it. But there was, I think, about in the building, there is, let's see. Well, I believe there's also like another little building in
Lake Manor. Sorry, just to be quite sure, what building is this we're talking about?
The Edmund Strug Building.
The Edmund Strug Building, right. Mm-hmm.
Now, just going along there, I think you see the drug building was here. And I think there was a building of one or two stores, like an annex to it. Not that, probably not belonging to the building.
It didn't have a real estate upstairs, a real estate office. No, it did at one time.
There was a doctor upstairs.
Who was there?
I believe it was Dr. Watson.
Oh.
No relation to Sherlock Holmes, though. But anyhow, in the block behind on Edmund Street, behind the drugstore, going east from the drugstore, we found a model grocery. I believe there was a tinsmith there. I think there had been at one time a shoe shop, but I think it was reduced to a shoe repair. And there might have been one other store. I think there were either three or four store locations besides the drugstore there.
Well, I suppose we could actually check.
But the Model Grocery was the mainstay, and the Edmonds Drugstore.
I think the Model Grocery used to advertise in the post.
Yes.
It advertised quite extensively.
That was Edmonds, you see, the Edmonds Business District. Well, in later years, they did build across from the corner where the, there's the Home Hardware and there's a drugstore right on the corner across from it. eventually somebody built there, and I think the hardware was right in the corner at one time. But that was late on. I think that was either in the late 30s or into the 40s.
So you think that because the sort of business pace had slowed considerably.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder what they actually did for a living. Now, this man called Joseph Simmons, he was supposed to be an historian. He used to write under the pen name of Jasper. But that's about all we know of him. And, of course, William Cameron Blount, we don't know anything, but his granddaughter told Jim Wolfe that, actually we hope to talk to her later, but he was one of the first men to use a linotype in British Columbia, but here he is working in an office that doesn't have one.
Yes, well, the linotype, let's see, if you look at in the archives at the history of the old Western newspapers, there's a list of the Western papers, the dates they put linotypes in. Most of them were in the 90s.
I haven't seen that. Now, where would it...
Well, it's in the archives. I think it's U.S. papers, of course.
Yeah. Well, they're all locked up in the archives.
They're not really concerned with weekly papers. They're concerned with dailies, although a lot of them started as weeklies. They do mention some of the early papers, one of them which used for a composing stick, they were using a tobacco can.
That doesn't sound very professional.
Well, I guess that's all they had.
That was all they had, so you just had to make the best of it.
And then, of course, it tells a little bit about the evolution of the Western papers, how they became dailies, and then the various cities, Denver, Seattle, and so on.
Oh, it's more than American.
But it's U.S. papers, but nevertheless, there's a list of the time that linotypes went in, and they'd be coming into Western Canada, the bigger papers, about the same time.
No.
Papers could not afford liners, pardon me.
Sorry, there was a question I had, and I shouldn't really interrupt, but I was talking to the gentleman today, that friend of Lloyd's who came in to fix the linotype.
Yes.
And he told me that there were no linotypes made in Canada. And I said I had read an article by Mr. Bert Campbell of the Typographical Union, and he said there were. He sort of I think the first one to get it was the Vernon News. They got a linotype that was actually made in Montreal.
Well, now, my own opinion is, although this is just my guess, that they'd be assembled in Canada, just as one time many automobiles were, mainly with U.S. parts. Maybe a few parts would be made in Canada, but I think quite a few of those parts came across the line and would be assembled in Canada, so they could legally say made in Canada. There's many things worked on that basis so that they could beat the juicy, you see.
Oh, that's why they did. Well, also, are you right? Because some businesses would sort of establish a plant in Canada just to get behind the sort of empire-wide tariffs so they could sell throughout the British Empire,
yeah,
as long as they had a plant in Canada. So that actually does make sense.
You'd have to have a warehouse and service plant in Canada anyhow. Then why not, assembling the machines there, and maybe to bring it within a certain percentage, I've forgotten, but a certain percentage of the final cost had to be Canadian. When you get around that, you see, you might say, well, we need certain castings. Well, almost any foundry can cast those, so we'll get those cast in Canada. And the fine machine gears and cams, well, that'll be imported. And perhaps our bolts and screws, all that stuff will be bought in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get through, you can say, well, you see, this machine was, say, $8,000 or $5,000, whatever it was, and a certain percentage of that was Canadian made. Yep. Although when it gets down to the real essential part of it,
it's essentially
US.
America.